Yeah, hello and welcome to a new episode of Wiki Jabba. My name is Sebastian Wallroth. I'm from Germany in Berlin. We are in Berlin, my guest and me, in a nice building in the city center at the Askanische Platz, where the Wiki DataCon took place yesterday and today. And I met with my guest, and I'm asking my guest, please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Felix Nati, and I'm from Ghana, but I'm here attending the Wikidatacon.
Say something about Ghana. I know nearly nothing about Ghana. Sorry for that, but
yeah. So Ghana is in Africa, West Africa, precisely, and it's one of the icons of Africa. It's normally known as the gateway to West Africa, and also known as the Star of Africa. So Ghana is a leading producer in cocoa, and one of our greatest resources is gold. So we're a major exporter of gold, and we have so many other resources. Yeah,
so you have a lot of resources. So, Ghana is a rich country?
Not really. We're supposed to be rich, but mismanagement and a few other things, in my opinion, what is like hindering our progress. However, I mean, I think the youth is standing up for things that matter, and the youth is picking up the slacks where our leaders have left off, and we're trying our best to change the narrative and change what currently exists.
Ghana has a long history, longer than the colonization.
Yes, I think we were among the first countries to attain independence, and Kwame Nkrumah, our first president, played a major role in the entire of Africa. He made a remarkable speech, which I think I can quote here. He said, our liberation is meaningless until it's connected with all the states or with all the countries in Africa. And that's one of the critical things that he worked on, by championing the AU and working with other African countries, helping other African countries to gain liberation. And yeah, pretty much. We have a history with a lot that has been done over the years on different parts of the continent.
Yeah. Is Ghana a single nation, or are there different nations in Ghana?
So Ghana is a single nation, but we have 10 regions. And these 10 regions are made up of like different tribes that exist in the country. So it's made up of the Greater Accra, the Northing, the Ashanti, Easting. And these are all like various groups or tribes that settled in our countries and formed those regions. But the capital of Ghana, it's in the Greater Accra region, and it's called Accra.
And do these tribes have their own languages?
Yes, so I wouldn't dare give it a try, because I'm not sure about the number of languages we have in our country, but we have quite a lot. And but the basic ones that everybody knows is the Ga, Chi, and the Ewe.
And is English a language too?
English is official language.
English is the official language. Yes. And you have additional three languages that are official languages too.
They aren't actually official, but these are like basic languages that you would hear when you get into Ghana. But mostly it's English. We communicate in English.
So even on the street, you speak English?
That's the funny thing, though. It's a national language, but most people speak the local dialects. The language that I think supersedes or thrives in every part of the country is Chi.
So if you were born in Ghana, you know at least two languages.
Most likely, yeah.
Or more?
More, actually.
Or less? Do people only speak their lonely local?
So you most likely know the national language, which is English, and your own language, which is like the local dialect, and then one other one, which is Chi, which sort of like transcends all the tribes in the country.
That's good, because even in Germany, most people speak only German.
Yeah. But do you have other sub-languages?
We have minorities. The Serbians.
Wow.
The upper Serbians and lower Serbians. And then we have, I would say, dialects. They are relatives of the German language, like Alemannisch, Boyarisch, and Lower Saxon languages. It's like you listen to them and you think you understand something. It's not that hard diversity. And people know German from television and radio. so they can talk to each other. And the special thing in Germany is that we have several countries, Austria, Switzerland, and even Denmark and Netherlands, where people know German language.
Yeah.
There's a hard cut to the east. The Polish, they call us the Niemcy, what means the people that cannot speak, because all they understood every other tribe around, but not the Germans. But it's a very basically different languages. And I'm trying to learn Polish, and it's pretty hard. So let's get back to Ghana. You are Wikipedian, so there's internet in Ghana. How is the internet in Ghana?
So internet in Ghana is something good to write about, because comparing that to a few other countries that have been on the continent, internet in Ghana is quite good. Mm-hmm. And if you check the stats, I think the penetration rate of internet in Ghana is quite high. On a daily basis, like on a monthly basis, we get close to 4% penetration. People are constantly buying phones and connecting to the internet. However, for me, the question is what they're using the internet for, not the penetration and the accessibility. One other key thing that affects internet and affects the use of internet might be the cost of internet, actually.
Mm-hmm. Is it expensive?
Well, might not be expensive to the upper NS or the middle incomers, but probably to the low income people and just people getting close to the middle income. Because currently internet can cost about 5 to 10% of somebody's regular income, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to think about it. How much do I pay? Much less. Much less. Yeah. And most people are going to internet via mobile, right?
Yes, most people access the internet via mobile. And I can make a narrative. I won't mention the name of the telco, but I remember buying internet around 35 Ghana Cedi. On average, which is like $8 to $7. And that's just 4 gig. And honestly, that does nothing to me, because the work I do, I need a lot of internet. And sometimes I even have this question of, are they really giving us what it's worth? They are saying it's four gigabytes. Is it actually 4 gigabytes? Because sometimes internet runs so fast, you would at least realize that you bought a 4 gigabyte data.
When was your first access to the internet?
Wow, first. That's a lot of thinking. So my first access would be in primary. Because In primary school.
Ah, primary school. Right.
That's way back in 2002. Mm-hmm. I went to a very good school, so I had access to computers and a whole lot. So I was introduced to computer very early, in my early stages, and had access to internet. But that was only when I was in school. When I always got back home, I didn't have access to a computer. I didn't have access to internet. So sometimes I had to just try to save money and go to the internet cafe just so I can practice what I learned in school and stuff like that.
Yeah, the same what people did here in the late 1990s. They went to internet cafes or to the public library and stuff to because internet access was expensive back in this time. So at primary school, okay, I was about 25 years old when I had first access to the internet at the university. And when I first time saw it, I was knowing this is a thing. This is a thing what I want to do.
Awesome.
And happily it grows so much and people understood how to access this. I remember then in my first week with internet access from home, I was in a chat room and I was chatting with another guy and asking, where are you from? And he said, from Connecticut. And I said, no, not possible. I'm sitting here in Berlin in my little student's flat and I'm chatting with a guy from Connecticut.
I remember back in the days, Yahoo Messenger used to be the greatest thing.
Yeah.
And everybody was in Yahoo Messenger, but now it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah. And people in Ghana, what they are doing in the internet?
So, this is a tough one, but mostly people access the internet for I would say obscure reasons. The trend has been people using internet for Instagram, Facebook, and you often find people not even doing research on the internet. People sometimes come to me and ask questions on how to get some things, and I tell them just check YouTube, just check. They even forget there's such great resource on the internet. And others who really use the internet are probably not just using it rightly. They don't really know where to go to find information and stuff like that. But I would say generally, people use it for social media.
That's all. It's the same, same as here. Yeah, most people use it for chatting or WhatsApp or so, because it's less expensive. Or they look videos how to cook or how to fix something.
Exactly. So at least they're learning how to do something. But most people in my country are using it for entertainment purposes. So watching a video, a music video, listening to some sort of thing. But you hardly find people really using YouTube to do some things. Well, I know a couple of people who do that, but I can't say for everybody, but per my experience, most people don't really use their internet for like reasons that you would expect them to. Because I know I end up on some forums or conferences or even some action programs and projects, and people ask me, how do you get this? And I'm like, dude, this is on the internet. So it's quite amusing when the youth ask me questions like that, but it's a strange thing to say, but obviously that's what's happening.
Yeah. The same here. I mean, we have more than 80 million people in Germany, and guess how many of them are really active Wikipedia editors? 1,000.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's way better than my country.
This is, they have 1,000 people have more than 5 edits per day.
Wow.
This is an active Wikipedia editor. Yeah. So I do not know the exact number, but that's the,
approximately.
That's how it works. Yeah. And we are really trying hard to find people, to show people what they can do, and to find people who are might be interested in providing free knowledge. So, what are you doing in Ghana?
So, yeah, what am I doing in Ghana? So, my work mostly. So, right now I work from my NGO, Open Foundation West Africa,
What is it?
It's an NGO that wants to champion the cause of the open movement in the West African sub-region. And we were recently accoladed or conferred a Wikimedia affiliation status. So we are now a user group. And our focus is to mostly channeling resources to people who need them. So one of the things that I did in 2013 was to visit like a school in the northern region, one of the deprived areas in my country, and to install like offline resources, QX, onto the school's PC so students can access Wiktionary and Wikipedia. Right. I thought these were fundamental things that they needed, and these were things that were going to improve their studies and stuff like that.
Can I ask about you? So you provide English Wikipedia as an offline resource on USB sticks, or how do you do this?
So before then, I learned that people were doing this through USB discs, but I found that very difficult thing to do, because one, the foundation was not willing to sponsor us with USB discs, and I think it made a lot of sense, because when you're giving this USB disc, so every time you go to a school, you give them a USB disc, and these things you keep on buying and buying. It's a waste of resource. But I developed a strategy of like downloading the whole database of QX onto the school's PC. And then downloading the ZIM files. So what will happen is I go to these schools, and I had like a local person on the ground. And then at the school, we installed on each PC QX and downloaded the respective ZIM files that we needed. An alternative way could have been just downloading the whole thing and putting it on a server, and it would have served all the school. But unfortunately, they didn't have a internet infrastructure, let alone have a server to be able to do that. So we had to do it on HPC.
And then you update it every year, or what do you do?
The person on the ground. So because I don't live there, I had somebody on the ground who was working on this. So we did a survey before and we did a survey after, like I think 2 months in, to understand how it was raising impact and how it was helping the people, the students in the school. And we realized that before then, I think about only 5 to 10% knew about Wikipedia and knew Wikipedia to be a resource that they could visit to learn. And I think after the research, we had about 70% of the people saying that now they know how to use Wikipedia and they know of Wikipedia. And it was a great resource because we had an opportunity to create, to train 800 students, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, which I think was laudable, was a very good opportunity for us. Yeah. So my colleague always goes to the school, tries to help the lecturers to update, but one of their challenges is internet. And I don't know how far we can go to support them on the ground, but at least they have information that they can visit. One thing I know about dictionaries is that they don't get updated frequently, unlike Wikipedia. So they could make use of the dictionary whilst we try to see means and ways to, I mean, ensure the continuous growth of the Wikipedia platform that we've provided.
Mm-hmm. So people start using the Wikipedia and the dictionary.
Yeah.
In the lessons or in their spare time?
So, because it's a boarding school, we've not been able to study when they use these resources. Mm. But because the computer lab is on campus and it's a boarding school, we assume that they can go in any time and do a research or search on anything that they really want to learn about.
Mm. And the students, do they have their own computers, like laptops and
stuff?
Nope. Only the computer labs.
Computer labs, yeah.
So study is mostly offline.
Yes. Study is mostly offline.
Chalkboards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And books.
And books, yeah.
And do you have books?
Yes. So there are books, but that's another topic. Mm-hmm. So people may not be able to be opportune to have the resources to purchase a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also a challenge. And that was what actually pushed us to put Wikipedia and Wiktionary as a resource for them. Because then if you want to search on basic things like, maybe you're doing social studies, you want to read about the Gadangbe tribe, it's already on Wikipedia. You can actually go there and read, right? So if you don't have the books, you can still have some amount of information that can help you in your studies. At least that's what we could offer them. But the next level would be to start working on OERs, Open Education Resources, and trying to help them like bridge that gap. Currently, we're talking with Siavula. Actually, they got in touch with us, and we're thinking of starting an OER for possibly the math curriculum. So if we're able to do that, we would possibly migrate that to other curriculums in school.
Yeah. Like these two projects, Wikiversity and Wikibooks, that provide free books, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are not so much resources. And
that's the thing. A lot of people don't contribute to Wikiversity and Wikibooks, so you find most of the information is outdated, or you don't really get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's some good resources there.
Yeah. A lot of things to do.
Yeah, a lot.
And you are alone or do you have companions?
So I have like amazing people who are doing amazing work. And I must say that we have the Wikimedia Ghana user group and we have the Open Foundation West Africa. Our focus is to work in the West African sub-region. However, we still do projects that will champion the cause of the open movement in Ghana as well. Mm-hmm. So like recently we organized an event called the Summer Open School and it was meant to actually train people about the open movement and for them to understand and acquaint themselves with the open movement and choose how they would contribute and as a way of like imbibing volunteerism into them, because that's one thing that has a cultural hindrance. Like a culture does not really promote volunteerism because people want to get money for the stuff that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was an opportunity for us to train some people and sort of like inspire them to understand that volunteerism actually pays. I think most of the skills are built over time through volunteerism and you can't take that away from me. Yeah.
I'm understanding that also the idea of volunteering in Germany is not that public not everybody knows about it. I often get, when I say I'm working for at Wikipedia, they say, how much money do you get for it? So, no, this is what the people think. But volunteering in Germany, it really keeps the society running. A lot of people volunteer in firefighters and in hospitals and so on. You do not know too much, you know.
Yeah, but for me particularly, I always say volunteerism is actually an opportunity to build the requisite skills for a job. That's how I see it, because you often don't get the chance to get a job right after school.
Yeah,
there's unemployment in your home. What would it take if you go out there to like give out your best to a project? Through that project, you learn new skills that can end you up with a job.
Yeah.
So now I work part-time with the Wikimedia Foundation through volunteerism. And that's what I find hard to, I find a little bit difficult to understand or comprehend with people who do not like really want to volunteer, because for me, it's a unique opportunity to really build skills.
Yeah.
And that's why programs like the UN Volunteerism is coming up and stuff like that, because they believe that. And the funny thing is, most of these volunteerism programs don't even tell you they have a stipend for you, because you don't want to volunteer. You immediately shun it, right? Mm-hmm. But the moment you get a chance to be in it, you realize that there are stipends for accommodation, stipends for transport, and you begin to, got into this in the beginning, but people don't do. And they only realize at the end and they go like, oh, shoot, I should have been in this. But it's not because of the money. It's because of the passion. You follow the passion, the money will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of skills. You learn how to write. You learn how to communicate online. This is what I'm, this is my daily business. I've worked with a team that has members in Hamburg and in India and in the US. And I work as a scrum master. I'm a project manager, and I learned at Wikipedia how distributed works, you know. And now at my job, I can say, let's write it down in a wiki, and then everybody can read it.
So yeah.
I'm the wiki guru, but they saw how it works really, and they adapted them very fast. So I can, I really understand this argument that volunteering in Wikipedia on open projects really has an effect on your business.
That's very true.
And you have contact to nice people from all over the world.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
Just to chip in this, I was in Netherlands a week before WikidataCon, and I happened to just crash my friend's place. And guess what? I got to meet him through Wikipedia. And he was not even around. He was in Tokyo. I was like, I'm leaving my keys. Just see this lady and you have access to my room for as long as you want. I'm like, that's how it works. I mean, you build connections, you meet people. I'm even working on a project that he might possibly help because he has an experience in energy, right? And that's how we connect and build our future. But if you want to stay secluded from community and stay secluded from the world, because whether you like it or not, it's a storm, it's coming. The open is the new dimension and it's the new way. Yeah.
That's a big word. But I think so, because countries like Ghana, they don't have the money to purchase books. And it's the same in India or Armenia. And what they do is a fraud copy of books. So, but the thing is, we should not fight fraud copy. We should provide free knowledge. Yeah, free copies. There should be a way to do so. Even countries like Germany, when they were underdeveloped in 200 years ago, they did fraud copy. So they grow. This is how it works. If you can't access it because you have not enough money. You have to do it another way. And now we have free licenses and we have volunteering people with passion that can do this. Right. Great idea. Yes, you are right. So why do you... So I asked you the first contact to the internet, but what was your first contact to Wikipedia?
So my first contact to Wikipedia was through volunteerism. So I've made all my exploits in life through volunteerism. So I visited an event in Accra called Barcamp Accra, And Back and Back Cry is like a youth forum where youth come together to talk about social problems and try to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
So upon attending, I was like, I want to do the same event in my province, right? So I went back home and spoke to the organizers of the event, and I organized a similar thing in my school. Back mm-hmm. then I was in school. So through this event that I organized,
mm-hmm.
I had some people come over to teach about Wikipedia. And that mm-hmm. was my first contact with Wikipedia.
Ah, great.
Yeah.
So talking about Wikipedia works.
Yeah.
That's good news. Because I talked to so much people about Wikipedia. And sometimes I think now I talk to 10,000 people, and two of them are volunteering to Wikipedia. But you are an example how it really has an effect to the people. Great. And what? So this was your first contact to Wikipedia?
That was my first contact ever. Oh, so
what did you think about it?
Okay, well, I would say before I'd had several contacts. So through research, because I was in a university, but I really didn't look at Wikipedia in any way because our lecturers discouraged the use of Wikipedia. So it got to a time I wasn't even looking out for Wikipedia anymore.
Mm.
But my first contact through this event actually got me to understand that Wikipedia is a resource that needs to be used correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the misuse of Wikipedia that causes lecturers to like debunk information that is coming from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
However, people like us can also contribute to make Wikipedia better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, wow, if we can contribute to it, then why not try?
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I got into it. But it's amazing enough for you to know that when I got into it and created my first account in 2012, I think I did my first edit in 2013. So it took me like a year to really understand and move. But I have done trainings for people who just like got started immediately and like went back home and created like 20 articles in just one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Has Wikipedia changed since then?
Changed me or changed? So for me, it's changed me a lot. It's given me a chance to really learn some basic skills, skills that I think everybody should have, writing skills, copy edit skills, being able to write in an encyclopedic tone, and knowing how to properly reference research work, and having to conscientize yourself with the fact that Wikipedia works on only facts, based on facts, and without facts, it will be deleted. There's so many things that I've learned from Wikipedia myself. It's taught me to be a leader, project manager, like so many things, because it's like a whole package. Joining the movement, unless you want to stay as an editor and don't want to grow. But if you want to grow, there's so many opportunities for you to grow. You can become a project manager, lead your community with activities and projects. You can learn like budget financing, how to write like real budget. And you can make sense out of like projects and their measures of success and impact. And these are things that I learned on Wikipedia and through volunteerism.
So change you. That's great. Yeah. The Wikipedia have an impact on Ghana?
At this point, I'll say no. I'll say no in the sense that there's still this misconception about Wikipedia and using content from Wikipedia, which we're working at, like in debunking little by little. So yeah, about impact on Ghana, I would say it's not really had an impact on Ghana, because looking at the whole, or looking at what we've done holistically, most of our work is in Accra, and most of our work has been focused on like getting new editors, which we've somewhat achieved, because I can say together with the Wikimedia Ghana user group, we may have close to like 200 people in our membership base, but we might have just about 10 to 20 people being active. And for me, it's not about activeness, it's about contributing.
Yeah.
Even if it takes you a year to contribute once, that's new information that we wouldn't have had if you didn't contribute. So for me, it's about people devoting their time and putting work out there. But the growing misconceptions or the still existing misconceptions about Wikipedia is driving activity down, because some lecturers still believe Wikipedia is not a credible use of a credible source of information. But I think little by little, we are trying to remove that narrative, and we are helping people to understand the use of Wikipedia. Actually, I keep on saying this to people: Wikipedia is not a source of information; it's an aggregator of information. Mm-hmm. It's not a basic research. It's not a new research. It's research that already exists, and it's on Wikipedia. So, if there's a research in Forbes magazine, right, and you would accept that, and that same information is put on Wikipedia, and you wouldn't accept it, I find it quite absurd. Mm-hmm. And for me, these are some of the things I used to try to make people understand that it's a misconception that is going around, but you really need to sit down as a person and think critically how that really affects your work. Because I was doing my MBA and I found myself using Wikipedia every time, but I never got marked down because I really know how to use Wikipedia. And I found it quite funny when we were doing a training in school about research writing, and our lecturer mentioned that you can actually use Wikipedia, but you don't have to credit Wikipedia as a source because it's not the source. So I would say that it's a narrative that is going around, and we need to change. And that's what is not really making Wikipedia have its thrives in Ghana, but certainly little by little we'll get there.
Is the concept of an encyclopedia known in Ghana?
Yes, but people are usually okay, or used to the orthodox encyclopedia, so like the Encyclopedia Britannica, Encyclopedia Encarta. Yes, so they're used to the books and used to the PC versions. That's Encyclopedia Encarta, but most of them are pirated. Nobody buys the original. Yes, and it's an opportunity for them to understand that, or to know that they can actually get a free version. You don't have to be corrupt. And what's really unique about Wikipedia to me that no other encyclopedia can do, that I think people should know, is the fact that Wikipedia is timely. When something happens today, it gets published on Wikipedia today. But when something happens today and you want that published on Encyclopedia Britannica, you have to wait for another volume to come. And before that volume comes out, it might be updated or outdated already, because the new information is out again. So for me, Wikipedia is one of the greatest resources we can ever have on Earth now.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that if so many people work on the same project, you would expect an average result, but you have a more than average result. It's excellent. It has been compared to Encyclopedia Britannica, and Wikipedia is better.
And it's the strength in our diversities. It's because we're from different backgrounds, and we're from different places, different thinking modes and different mindsets. We're able to contribute nitty-gritties of some things that you wouldn't get in an Encyclopedia Britannica. Because then Wikipedia gives local content, in the sense that it's locals that are actually writing the content. So they write the content with trifling, very little minute details that you won't get in Encyclopedia Britannica. And that's what makes Wikipedia better than Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, and it's a chance for the local people to give their knowledge or knowledge about their topics, about their places, to an encyclopedia. It's like there was a map showing all Wikidata entries with geographical data. But you could clearly say Europe glowing and North America glowing and Japan and Africa was black. But African people themselves are able to change this.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we're working at. And I think we're working at through different means. So you often hear Africans talking about Wikindaba. That's the African Wikimedian Conference. And the idea is to foster collaboration across the continent and move agendas. You find out projects, continental projects coming up, the Wiki Loves Africa, Wiki Loves Women. And these are projects that are striving hard to change the bias and the systematic bias that actually exist on Wikipedia. So you find projects covering pictures and content on African diversity, African culture, African heritage. And I think, yeah, little by little, you know, Rome was not built in a day. And Wikipedia in itself was not started in a day. It started way back in
2001.
And it happened to start in the global north. That's the developed communities. So it's now getting to Africa. And it's obvious that 11 years of work would not be compared to like just 2 or 3 years of work. That there'll be a vast difference because people have done this over time for like 11 years. Right now, Africa is coming into the game. And not just Africa, the global south, the emerging communities. So like India, and you see, these are the areas that I think the foundation should be concentrating on, because like it or not, the global north is more covered than the global south. And you really need to invest into places that you really want covered, because we say that we are the sum of all human knowledge, not the sum of some human knowledge. And so to be able to really attain that goal of all human knowledge, we need to delve into these areas that are coming up.
And maybe we can make new experiences. Like I said, we have 1,000 or 2,000 active editors in Germany, what is well-educated, high penetration of internet. And we have so, I think it's a lot, 1,000 or 2,000, but compared to the number of inhabitants, it's not so much. And maybe you will find another way to bring people to share their knowledge. I had a talk in the last episode of WikiJabba with Peter Gallard from Namibia. And he talked to me about this, the different kind of how knowledge is given from one generation to the other. We have this European Mediterranean way of writing books. And then he talked to me about storytelling, where the elderly people sit on the fire and talk and talk and talk.
That's true.
Yeah. And this is what we had in Germany too. Some knowledge is preserved over 10,000 years, and some knowledge is lost. And maybe Wikipedia only works for the European or the Mediterranean way. What do you think?
Well, this topic is a very critical one, and it's dear to my heart because in Africa you find, okay, well, Africa is bad at keeping records. We're bad at keeping records about our history and about our culture. So what has happened over the years was what Peter Gallet said. People like having old folks in the communities who were knowledge bearers, and they kept like this information and passed it on from generation to generation. But scientifically, we know that is not reliable, because as in when information is being passed on, it loses some small and very necessary part of that information. However, it is not something that we should neglect, because currently the standards of academia allows only something that's printed in a book. It doesn't allow oral, because there's the argument of if it can be proven. But who says that what was written in the book can be proven? Because most of these things were things that people said and was written. So what difference does it make when I'm actually saying it to you, when the same thing is actually written in the book? But what we keep on forgetting here is that Africa was never like Europe. It was never like the global north. The global north were, before the Europeans, before the British even moved to Ghana, they were already writing in books. We were writing on stones. Right? We were telling our stories through different ways. And it's different worlds that are merging now. And we are coming from different backgrounds. So it would take a lot of work to really get those things down written in books. Right? And until we create that space where we want to give people a chance to really tell their story, then all we're telling the world is that some parts of the world, like Africa, like India, like other regions, where knowledge has been kept over the years in the minds of people, would never be accepted. Because then that's it. Because we're never going to get that information or those information recorded. Because now if I tell you, you can't even write a book based on it because it's not proven. But those stories of the past, were they really actually proven? Some of them were just people's like remarks and people's like point of view that were written. And based on those things, we can publish them now. Our scholars were not.
Yeah, but it's not only about things of the past. I've seen a documentary about from the Philippines, and some researchers, they took from a rainforest, they made a piece of 100 meter per 100 meter. And then there was a guy from who grew up in a village, now lives in a city. And then he asked him, do you know any plants over here? And he knows every single plant. And he knows a story about every single plant, what it's good for, what it is not so good for, what goddess is related to this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this kind of story, it's important to your life. If you live in the jungle, it's how this plant helps you. How do they fight you? How do you help you to not to get sick or to get something eaten? It's not only about mathematics or history. It's also about nature science, about life science stuff. This is what is preserved via stories. But the other thing Peter Gallard said is that there, Namibia is changing. We have people are going from the country to the cities. They do not hear this old stories anymore because they are not there. So that's the same happened here in Germany 200 years ago. And, some researchers like the brothers Grimm, they wrote down what the people said. So it's preserved now in books, what was said before. This was a really change. Maybe this happens now in Africa. At least in Namibia, I don't know if in Ghana the same happens.
Well, these things are they're important. Writing, putting them down, and trying to use them as a source. But I can't count the number of people who can do that in my country. And thing is, people are just not interested in recording information. That's what I've noticed, at least from my point of view, because
they don't know. They don't want to write. Don't want to write.
They're not interested.
But maybe they have mobile phones that can take a video.
Good. But taking that video is not enough in the world of academia, because it's somebody's story. How do you ascertain it's the truth? Yeah. So these things are problems. I really don't know how we can solve them. But one way to solve this is to accept oral citation. And this can be done more easily. I think if there's a story about a particular thing, and you can get three, four, five, six more people to confirm that that's actually true, it should be accepted. Because I don't think 3, 4, 5, 6 people from different parts of the country would form a story. And these are people that you pick randomly and ask them to tell you the same story, and they confirm that's the same story. Why wouldn't you accept it? But the world we are in seems to be controlled by, the global north, honestly. Education actually came from here.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we're having our own forms of education, doing our own stuff. We're teaching our kids how to put on fire with stones. We're doing our own cooking utensils with our own stuff, right?
Coloring clothes.
Yes.
Or
treating ourselves when we're sick with herbs. We're taking care of our own selves. But education in itself,
organizing water supply.
Yeah. But education itself is something that we have adapted. And it looks like you have to play to the rules of the game. So whether you like it or not, you have to do what is accepted in that forum. And once you can't have that, you can't be accepted. And so that's what is killing us. But I can't put my finger to a single person whom I know can do that kind of work. Write, go and listen to the indigenous people and try to write about them. Even if he or she writes about them, would it be published? These are questions that...
Yeah.
Would it be published in a space where it will be accepted in academia?
This is pretty special. When I think about it, I should do this here in Germany. I even would hardly find people doing this. It's easier for people to read other books or read other web pages or take pictures.
Yeah.
That is what they're doing. And how to put content into Wikipedia. It's not that easy.
It's not easy. But I feel one thing we can do, I mean, this came up some time ago, and I don't know if it's still viable. We can set up another wiki for folktales and just record folktales. Because, like it or not, these are contents that people would like to hear. Even if it's not scientifically proven, it might have some word or two that might make sense. So, for example, in the past, we don't believe in superstitions now, but in the past, there were superstitions like, don't sweep at night. And you'll be wondering, why would these people come up with a superstition like, don't sweep at night? Okay, good. So I wanted to like understand, why don't we sweep at night? Then I understood, in the past, there were no lights. So if you sweep at night, you might sweep your valuables away. And that was why they created that superstition, just to avoid you or refrain you from sweeping at night. Another example is, they said, the mortar and pestle. So we have our favorite staple food called fufu. And fufu is pounded in the mortar. In the mortar with a pestle, and
I don't understand what do they do with the mortar?
So fufu is cassava. It's made of cassava.
I don't know what cassava is.
Okay, so it's more of like, it's a starchy food. It's a tuber.
Okay.
So like yam, but it's called cassava, and we pound it to make fufu, and we make it. You know dumplings, right?
Yeah.
Good. So fufu is like soft and like dumplings, right? And fufu is our delicacy, right? So they came up with something. Don't ever pound a pestle in a mortar without any like substance in it. Because if you do that, your mommy's breast will tear off.
Okay.
But the reason was, if you do that, you destroy the mortar. And,
okay.
And destroying the mortar, you wouldn't be able to pound your fufu.
Okay. Yeah.
So like, there were reasons behind why these things were proposed in the past. But as to whether it's going to make sense to a lot of people, for some of us, I have delved quite further. I can't do everything, but just to understand why and the rationale behind why some of these things were being put up, it actually makes sense if you go back. But I am not ordained to like do the recordings, because I wouldn't probably have it published. Nobody would be willing to publish that.
Yeah. And if we think that further, in Germany, we have free knowledge collected in spaces where Wikimedia Foundation not is like recipes, like cooking sites. And when then we have this Wikia universe where people write about their favorite TV series or their films or books, or, you know, maybe this is also what could people should be offered in Ghana, write about the things they are interested in.
Yeah.
Not everybody is interested in the encyclopedia, but maybe in something else. And this is knowledge too.
Yeah.
And then they learn how to write, and then we, on the back way, bring them to Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So if you would become overnight the king of Wikipedia, what would be your first orders?
Well, if overnight I become the king of Wikipedia, my first orders would be to give a lot of support to the Global South. Why do I keep on saying Global South? To the emerging communities. Because I think it's necessary that we channel our energies into these areas, because these are the places that will make up Wikipedia in the next 10 years.
And what kind of support?
So support in terms of like experimenting with those regions. So don't give up, don't give funds for projects, expecting that you yield necessary measures of success, because it's always not the case. First of all, the underlying reason why Wikipedia exists is to share information with everybody. And so I think that's the core of Wikipedia, not even contributing, but letting people have access to information, which is like the critical thing for Wikipedia. And so going out there, letting people know about Wikipedia is the key thing to do. And then when they find the value of Wikipedia, they will be willing to contribute to Wikipedia. But if you approach them with possibly at this Wikipedia, they might not be interested and it might push them off, but just create the awareness. So I'm looking at a more inclusive movement. That's what I would possibly do if I was the king of Wikipedia. Giving out resources in an equity form. Not equality, but equity. People who need more should get more. People who need less should get less. And devoting these resources to championing the cause of our movement, because That's the only way we can attain a real global movement.
Mm.
That's when we include all these other people on the borders.
Okay. I have to ask again, what kind of support? Who has to give what to support the emerging countries?
So it's hard to say this, but from where I come from, you need money for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can have your way of having a space for free and other things, but you need internet to work. Even the volunteer, the funny thing is, most people who volunteer or who would like to volunteer are people who are unemployed. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, these people who are unemployed do not even have the money to move from their homes to the conference venue or to the training venue.
Yeah.
So how then do they come and play a role in this? Right. So it might not make sense to say that we're covering transportation costs for volunteers in Germany, but it might make a lot of sense in Ghana. And that's what I'm saying. We should have an open-minded approach to dealing with emerging communities because the terrain is quite different and it is not like the developed ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the resources that might be needed, like, for example, what I've just told you, like volunteers moving to event venues, you might see that's not a problem, but it's a big problem. And that's why you have like 80 people register for events and only 20 people show up because they can only afford to move to the place with some amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You have people going back home hoping that they will edit. They can't edit Wikipedia because they can't afford even the internet to edit Wikipedia. That's another way. So, resources, not only in terms of money, but partnerships that will yield or would create a conducive environment for people to actually contribute to Wikipedia would be useful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying this. Last year, you got a call via Skype.
This year, actually.
This year?
Yeah.
This was this year, okay. And there was Jimmy Wales on the, on the phone and was telling you, you are the Wikipedian of the year. Tell me about it. What is it, Wikipedian of the Year?
So the Wikipedian of the Year is an award given by Jimmy Wales to volunteers who are doing exceptional work in the community and the movement. And I happen to be awarded this year.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I wasn't told that was the reason why I was going to get on the call. I was told, I won't mention the name of the staff, but... I always laugh at this. She told me she needed help with a presentation for Wikimania. And I was like, I just woke up. I'm not taking my shower. I'm about to leave for work. And she's like, can you please help me? I'm like, well, I love this. I'll just do it. And I just gave up my time.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I get on the call and I spoke to her. She was the one who spoke to me. Then Jimmy Wales gets on the call. I'm like, what's happening? What's Jimmy Wales doing here? And in a split second or some minutes, I get announced as the Wikimedian of the Year, and my mind was blown. I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I don't know. I can't still believe it. I can't still believe it. But I'm very grateful for everybody who really saw the good thing in me and. Mm-hmm. For me, I'd say that it really means that people actually watch the work we do.
Yeah.
And for me to be in a small country like Ghana, specifically Accra, which is so far away from like the world and like in a community where people, are now trying to mount up strategies to improve content on Wikipedia, I'm really pleased because I never dreamt.
Mm. What happened afterwards?
So after the announcement, nothing has really changed. it's just been me doing my normal stuff.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of media attention based on that.
What media?
So
from which country?
I've had interviews from Spanish media.
Mm-hmm.
I think two Spanish technology newspapers published about me.
Mm-hmm.
I had like three publications in Ghana. And I've had like multiple podcast interviews.
Mm.
Yes, I've been published in so many ways. And I think what this award actually does is that it brings you recognition for the work you do and actually puts you out there for people who really want to work with people like us in the community. So for me, it's positioned me where I can now go out there and really get good partnerships, because now people know that this is what this guy does.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be in monetary terms, but it's valuable.
So it helps you to be the Wikipedian of the Year to your work.
Yes, it's somewhat helped. Yeah. After that, I think I've gotten a lot of, like, people have invited me to speak at forums just because I was a Wikipedian of the mm-hmm. year. I even got contacted by a Spanish company who wanted me to go and speak at an event because they thought I was a speaker, only for me to hear later on that the event was not going to come on. But it tells you how far I've gone. I got like several mails from people from Spain. Mm-hmm. Like I got friend additions on Facebook from people from Spain. People mm-hmm. were just saying, we like your work. We just want to follow you and learn more about what you do. And I got like a business contact actually from this. Somebody says, hey, I want to do something in Ghana, but I think you'd be the right person to talk to. Just send me a mail and we kicked off.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So it's been pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been pretty good.
When you think about Wikipedia in 10 years, what is it?
So, well, I see a gargantuan host of knowledge for the world, because more is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite intriguing to sometimes know that the uninhabited continent of Antarctica is far more covered than Africa. But that is also an encouragement. Yes. But that is also more like an encouragement to tell us that there's more work to be done. Because if Africa is less covered, then which means there is a lot to be put out there.
Yes.
And there is a lot to say to the world about like knowledge. And I think we're ready and we will move to that course. So in 10 years, those who hate Wikipedia, but Wikipedia will be one of the greatest resources in the world. Yeah.
Do you have freedom of panorama in Ghana?
Unfortunately not. But that's one of the things that we're doing as well. So I partly... So my NGO also focuses on things like this, because it's also allows the work of Wikimedia to thrive in my community. So I think Open Foundation West Africa also applied to be an affiliate of Creative Commons, which we have been semi-approved, and we've done quite some projects with Creative Commons as well. And one of the focuses is to champion the cause of like changing our copyright laws, because some of them are old and they don't really work in this 21st century, and some are just not accommodating and helpful to artists. So we have spoken to some lawyers, and we have some people who are willing to support the cause and to actually go out there and see if we can find freedom of panorama. Yeah,
I'm asking this because I heard a story from Armenia where the government was talking to Wikimedia Armenia and was saying, like, we have no money, but what can we do for you? And they said, give us freedom of panorama. And they said, okay. So if it works like that, that's great.
Yeah.
Because it really helps, because then we can provide free images of the local houses and cities. And the thing is, we have this Wiki Loves Monuments. And what we found is that 90% of the buildings, there haven't been images so far. Even you couldn't make money off it. They could not. Yeah, you cannot make money off it. So it only works over, freedom of panorama.
Yeah, and we certainly need that, because our copyright laws are. Just don't want to talk about them here.
So at the end of our talk. 1 hour is now, we are talking right now. I hope you gotten it's too cold on this cold German day. But at the end of each episode, I play some music. And I guess it's hard to find some free licensed music from Ghana.
Yeah.
I found some in Namibia. Oh, sorry for comparing Namibia with Ghana, but there was the last episode. And Peter Gallard said, you will not find something, but I found it on YouTube. But what I think is that the musicians did not know what a free license is, and they
just took
their chance. Yeah, maybe like this, but the music is under free license. So you have any suggestion what I should search for to get some Ghana music?
Well, I don't know if they have any free Ghanaian music, but I can, Creative Commons has this power search. I can quickly search any Ghanaian music through Creative Commons, and if I find one, I'll put it in your direction.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because there's such a lot of free license music out there, and there should be some from Ghana.
Yeah, I'm hoping actually. Because I know most of the old works are supposed to be on a Creative Commons license by now. Like, they're supposed to be in the public domain, because after 70 years, if the person is dead, automatically these licenses are taken away and they're in the open domain. So I can do a research on a couple of them and just probably send it to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for this talk.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's been great talking to you.
Yeah. See you later. See you later again. Next Wikimania in South Africa?
Yes, and I'm excited because I wasn't able to attend the one in Canada because of visa issues, which is a big issue in my country, but hopefully I'm going to be in South Africa.
I'm not sure I'm going to South Africa because it's 12 hours away from here.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Hello, this is Sebastian again. This was my talk with Felix at the Wikidatacon in Berlin. Afterwards, he sent me a link to a video on Wikimedia Commons. This video was imported from YouTube, and this video is an effort of the Ghanaian musician Ko Nemo, whose aim is to help preserve some of the important cultural musical traditions from Ghana. And this music now, what you're listening to, is a mixture of different pieces of traditional music of Ghana.
I'm running, 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 I'm